Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're diving into how churches are helping people grow in their faith today.
And we've got a great resource to help us.
Right. We're looking at reforming Christian education in congregations as the praxis of growing disciples for a missional church, a thesis by Craig Duncan Mitchell.
A catchy title, huh?
I know, right? But don't let it scare you away.
Definitely not. Mitchell actually gives us real-world examples from churches all across Australia.
He interviewed leaders from 13 different congregations.
Yeah, he talked to everyone from small rural churches to big ones in the city.
So what was he trying to find out from all these churches?
He was looking for those key ingredients that make Christian education work today. You know, what makes it really effective.
Okay, so let's jump in. Mitchell starts by talking about all the different terms people use for Christian education.
Oh, yeah, like faith development, spiritual formation, discipleship.
It can get a bit confusing. Did Mitchell find, like, a common thread running through all those terms?
You know, it's interesting. No matter what they called it, the focus was always on transformation.
Transformation.
Yeah, like a real change in how you live your life. It wasn't just about knowing stuff about the Bible. It was about how your faith actually changes you.
Okay, so how did these churches help people make that connection, you know, between knowledge and putting their faith into action? Did they all have some kind of special program?
Actually, what Mitchell found was that the most important thing was the community itself. The learning community.
The community.
Yeah, like the feeling of belonging to a group, of learning and growing together.
Interesting.
He highlighted three key elements: worship and prayer, a welcoming culture in the congregation, and offering different ways of learning so people could find what works for them.
Okay, so it sounds like it's about more than just showing up for a service on Sunday morning.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about creating an environment where people can really connect with their faith and with each other.
I like that. Can you give us an example, like, from one of the churches in the study?
Oh, sure. When it comes to prayer, there are churches getting really creative.
Creative how?
Well, one congregation actually set up prayer stations as part of their service.
Prayer stations?
Yeah. They had different activities and prompts to help people pray in a way that felt, you know, personal and meaningful to them.
That's so cool. I love that idea. It sounds like they're really trying to move away from, like, a one-size-fits-all approach.
Totally. And that extends to the overall feel of the church. Mitchell found that the churches that were best at nurturing spiritual growth, well, they had this culture of participation. You know,
participation.
Yeah. People felt comfortable speaking up, sharing their thoughts, asking questions.
So, like, open dialogue.
Exactly. And it wasn't just about talking. There was a genuine sense of belonging. People felt welcome and valued for who they were.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about programs. It was about how people felt.
So you're saying it's not just about what you teach, but how you make people feel.
In a way, yeah. One leader in the study described their church as a place where people feel safe to ask questions, to doubt, to wrestle with their faith.
Mm, I like that. It's about creating a space where it's okay to be on a journey, you know, not having everything figured out.
Right. They embrace the idea that faith is a process, not a destination.
That's powerful. Okay, so they're fostering a great community, but what about the actual learning part? How are they approaching Christian education?
Well, that's where the third element comes in, mm-hmm. Diverse learning styles. These churches are recognizing that not everyone learns the same way.
Right.
So they're moving beyond traditional Bible studies and trying all sorts of new methods to engage people.
So no more boring lectures in stuffy classrooms.
Well, not necessarily, but they're definitely finding ways to make things more interesting.
Give me an example. What are they doing?
Okay, for example, one church started a faith cafe.
A faith cafe. Sounds intriguing.
I know, right? It was a way for people to gather informally, maybe grab some coffee and dessert, and just chat about spiritual topics.
That sounds so much more relaxed and inviting than a formal lecture.
Exactly. And another church incorporated arts and crafts into their Bible studies.
Oh, wow. That's a cool idea. I can see how that would appeal to people who learn best through hands-on activities.
Right. They're really thinking outside the box to create a more engaging learning experience.
So they're basically saying, hey, let's take Christian education outside the classroom walls and make it a part of everyday life.
Exactly. They're meeting people where they are and using creative ways to, well, spark curiosity and a love of learning.
I love that. So what I'm hearing is that these churches are really intentional about shaking things up.
Yes, they're definitely pushing the boundaries and trying new things to create a more engaging and meaningful experience for people.
And it sounds like leadership plays a big role in all of this.
It definitely does. But we'll dive into the nitty-gritty of leadership after a short break.
So before the break, we were talking about these awesome learning communities in Australian churches, but what about the leaders?
Leadership. It's crucial, right? Mitchell found that the most effective leaders, well, they saw themselves as teachers.
Teachers.
Yeah, but more like facilitators, you know. They were all about creating a space where people could really explore their faith together. It was less about standing up there and preaching at people and more about guiding them on their spiritual journey.
So, like leading by example instead of just telling people what to believe.
Exactly. And get this, these leaders really emphasized their own personal growth. They were open about learning right alongside their congregation.
Oh, wow.
I know. One leader even said something like, "I don't have all the answers, and I'm cool with that." That kind of humility, it could be so powerful, don't you think?
Absolutely. It makes you feel like you're all in this together, right? Not just blindly following, but growing as a community.
Exactly. And the third thing Mitchell found about these great leaders, well, they were awesome at empowering others to step up and lead too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like creating a sense of shared responsibility for how the whole congregation was growing spiritually.
I like that. So it's less about having one person at the top calling all the shots.
Right. It's more about working together, like everyone contributing their own unique gifts and talents.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And you know what? This idea of shared leadership actually connects to the last piece of the puzzle we need to look at today,
Oh, it is.
how these churches view their mission in the world, how they connect what they're doing inside the church with what's happening outside those walls. What did Mitchell find out about that?
Well, it's fascinating. A lot of the churches in the study, they saw their main mission field as, well, their local community.
So, like their own backyard.
Yep, they were all about making a difference right where they were, you know, instead of just focusing on faraway missions or trying to convert people who don't believe.
So, it's about putting your faith into action in your own neighborhood.
Exactly. One of the leaders even said, "We believe that being a disciple is not just about what happens inside these church walls, but about how we live our faith in everything we do." They want their members to really be the hands and feet of Christ out in the world.
Wow, I love that. So it's not just about talking the talk, but walking the walk too. Can you give us some specific examples of what that looks like in action?
Oh, definitely. One church started a community garden.
A community garden.
Yeah. They wanted to give fresh produce to families who couldn't afford it, you know. And another church partnered with a local school to offer after-school tutoring programs.
That's fantastic. They're really rolling up their sleeves and making a tangible difference.
Right. And it wasn't all about these big organized programs either. These churches also encouraged people to live out their mission in their everyday lives, you know, just by being kind and compassionate.
Little things can make a big difference too.
Exactly. And all these stories Mitchell shares, they're not just feel-good moments. They really highlight this core idea. Christian education isn't just about teaching people facts. It's about preparing them to actually live out their faith in the world.
It's about connecting belief with action.
Yes. And Mitchell argues that this outward focus, this focus on mission, it's essential for churches to thrive in our world today.
It makes sense. The world's changing so fast, churches can't just sit back and wait for people to come to them. They need to be out there making a difference, showing people what it means to live a life of faith.
You got it. And you know what? Mitchell's research, it actually goes deeper than just these general ideas. He dives into how these churches are reimagining things like prayer and Bible study.
Really? Tell me more. How are they breathing new life into these traditional practices?
Okay, so take prayer, for instance. These churches, they're encouraging people to go beyond just reciting memorized prayers. They're helping them find a more authentic, personal connection with God.
I'm curious, what does that look like in practice?
Well, one church introduced prayer journaling.
Prayer journaling. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's where you write down your thoughts and feelings and prayers.
Oh, interesting. And I bet that helps people process things and make their prayers more personal.
Exactly. And another church started incorporating guided meditation into their prayer time.
So they're finding ways to make prayer more accessible to people who might be new to it or who haven't really connected with traditional forms of prayer.
You got it. And it's not just about prayer. They're also changing up Bible study, moving away from just listening to lectures and making it more interactive.
Okay, now that's what I like to hear. So tell me, what are they doing differently with Bible study?
Well, one of the churches Mitchell studied, they use a Lectio Divina approach.
Lectio Divina, what's that?
It's this really cool way of reading the Bible slowly and thoughtfully. allowing the words to speak to you on a deeper level.
So it's less about analyzing the text and more about letting it speak to you personally.
Exactly. And get this, another church actually started incorporating art into their Bible studies.
Art, like painting and drawing.
Yeah. They invited people to express their understanding of the Bible through art.
Wow, that's a really creative approach.
Right. And Mitchell's research, it doesn't stop there. He even talks about how these churches are experimenting with the structure of their worship services.
Oh, wow. I'm all ears. Tell me more about that.
Well, some of them are incorporating contemporary music, stuff that people actually listen to on the radio.
Makes sense. Got to keep things relevant.
Right. And they're using multimedia, too, like videos and images and stuff, to create a more immersive experience.
Sounds pretty high tech.
I know. And some churches are even incorporating dance and movement into their services.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So they're really thinking about different learning styles and how to make worship appeal to people on a deeper level.
Exactly. And it's not just about the bells and whistles, They're really emphasizing the importance of participation and connection during worship, too.
So it's not about just sitting quietly in your pew and listening to the pastor.
Nope. They're encouraging people to sing along, to read together, to even share their own prayers and stories spontaneously.
I love that. It makes worship more of a community experience, right?
Totally. And you know what? This emphasis on active participation, it runs through everything they're doing with Christian education. It's not just about passively absorbing information. It's about engaging with your faith on a deeper level.
It's about making faith come alive.
Yes. And Mitchell's research, it's such a great reminder that churches can be creative and innovative, They can find ways to make faith relevant and engaging for people today.
It's so inspiring to hear about what these Australian churches are doing. I'm already thinking about how some of these ideas could apply to my own church.
I know, right? It's really exciting. But before we get too carried away brainstorming, let's take a step back and look at Mitchell's final thoughts and what they mean for our listeners today.
Okay, so we've spent this whole deep dive exploring all these innovative things churches are doing with Christian education.
Right.
But as we wrap things up, I want to zoom out a bit, look at the bigger picture.
Sounds good.
So what are some of Mitchell's big conclusions? Like, what are the main takeaways?
As we've been talking, what's really struck me is how intentional these churches are about spiritual growth.
And intentional.
Yeah, they're not just hoping people will magically connect with their faith.
Right, right.
They're actually creating experiences that make that connection happen.
It's proactive, not passive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're putting a lot of thought and effort into creating the right environment,
And developing strong leaders.
Yes. And making sure people see how their faith connects to their everyday lives.
It's like they're saying, we're not just going to offer a few programs and hope for the best.
Right. They're being much more deliberate about how they approach Christian education.
It's almost like they're responding to the challenges churches are facing today, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Like with people's busy lives and all the distractions out there.
Mitchell actually uses this term, post-Christendom, to describe the cultural shift we're seeing.
Post-Christendom.
It's the idea that the church isn't the dominant force in society anymore.
Like it used to be.
Exactly. So churches have to be more proactive.
Oh, intentional.
Yes. They can't just wait for people to come to them.
They have to go out and meet people where they are.
Exactly. And that's where the link between Christian education and mission is so important.
Right. The idea of equipping people to live out their faith beyond Sunday morning.
Yes. These churches are saying, hey, you're not just learning about your faith to keep it to yourself.
You're learning it so you can make a difference in the world.
Exactly.
And Mitchell actually provides lots of examples of churches doing just that.
Right. Like empowering their members to serve their communities, to actually live out their values.
It's about walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Exactly. And Mitchell argues that this focus on mission, this outward focus, is absolutely crucial for the church to thrive in the 21st century.
It's like they're saying, if we want to stay relevant, we can't just be inward focused.
Right. We have to be engaged with the world around us.
It's been such a fascinating deep dive. I'm so impressed by the creativity and innovation we've seen in these Australian churches.
Me too. It's so inspiring to see how committed they are to making faith relevant and engaging for people today.
And what's exciting is that this isn't just limited to Australia.
Right. These ideas can inspire churches all over the world.
To rethink their approaches and find new ways to connect with people.
Absolutely.
There's one thing Mitchell didn't explicitly address that I'm really curious about.
Oh, what's that?
technology.
Ah,
Like,
yes.
how are or could these churches be using technology to enhance their Christian education efforts?
That's a great question.
I mean, just imagine the possibilities.
Right, like connecting people across geographical boundaries, using online platforms for learning and discussion.
Or even using technology to share the church's message in new and creative ways.
There's so much potential there.
It's definitely something for all of us to think about. And while Mitchell's research doesn't give us all the answers, it provides a fantastic foundation for continuing the conversation.
Absolutely.
So if you're listening, we encourage you to keep exploring these ideas.
Think about how they might apply to your own church or community.
The journey of faith is an ongoing adventure.
There's always something new to discover.
Thanks for joining us on the deep dive.